Well, here we are, brethren. We are a little bit less than 8 days away from the Feast of Tabernacles. And we are very aware, I believe, that we are going to be leaving shortly, obviously. And we're going to be enjoying the time that God has prepared for us, given us, to step out of this world and to take a beat. Kind of think of it like a salmon swimming upstream, right? And they get to where they're going, and they finally get to relax. We're going to head to the feast, and we're going to enjoy that time, as we always do. But I was thinking about this, and I was talking with my mother, and I mentioned to her how even though we are excited to be heading to the feast, and we always anticipate that, right now at this time, for me at least, it seems a little surreal. We've just had a hurricane happen on the east coast of the United States, causing a tremendous amount of damage. There's a war going on in Ukraine. There is trouble all over the place, wherever you look. And so we see this world spinning more and more out of control, and yet here we are heading off to the feast. So it's definitely a time of reflection, a time to pause and to really think about what that means for us. And so I would like to start today, as we hop into this split sermon, is to cultivate a mindset, to start thinking about a theme. And I would like that theme to be for us to be thinking around these fall holy days. To think about and start planning what we are going to draw out of this season. You know, we all know intellectually what these days mean, what they picture for us, how God has instituted them for us. But what can we do differently to get more out of these days? We've already had the Feast of Trumpets. On Wednesday, we're going to have the Day of Atonement. And then following that, the Feast and the Last Great Day. You know, when a farmer plants his crops, there's two main times that he gets to harvest, the spring and the fall. God's plan follows this timeline in a way. You know, we have already gone through the spring holy days. We've already passed those, and we look forward to keeping those again in the future. But now we are in this fall season. And so I'd like to ask each and every one of us, what is it that we are now harvesting? What are we going to pull away from this time of year? Will we gain anything? Or will we just enjoy the time that we have and then just get back to life? Will we make permanent changes in our lives? Or will we sit in services each and every day and put notes in our notebooks and then that is all? The choice is really up to each of us. And again, as I said earlier, cultivating that idea of intentionality. In Proverbs chapter 4, and beginning in verse 5, and we'll read to verse 13, Proverbs chapter 4, and beginning in verse 5, we are told, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all of your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my saying, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. In order for us to get wisdom, whether that's physical wisdom or spiritual wisdom, we have to be looking for it. We have to be seeking after that thing, because it has to find a place in our lives. You know, if we don't ever stop in our lives to contemplate, to ask questions of ourselves, how's it going? What's working? What's not working? What needs work? Then we will just continue to go living life, and things will just happen as it happens. And things in our lives will end up staying the same time after time. And we talk about this throughout the year in various ways, and that's a good thing. I think that we have to become, as Christians, very, very intentional. And I've been thinking about this more and more. This idea of being intentional, because if we are not intentional in our lives, we will just receive everything that we hear, and then it will go to waste. And without intentionality in our lives, we can't produce the fruits that we would want, or even that God wants. You know, when I stopped and was really thinking about intentionality, you could probably all figure out where I'm going, the fruits of God's Spirit comes to mind. You know, if there's one place to be extremely intentional, it's here. But, you know, just thinking about this, if we have God's Holy Spirit, at least I hope that we do, just because we are told about the fruits of God's Spirit, who He is, doesn't mean that it actually comes naturally for us, even if we do have God's Holy Spirit. You know, Romans 8 and verse 7 tells us that the carnal mind, that human mind that is still in us, even though we are baptized, it's still there. It's still in tune with the God of this world, unfortunately. But this mind of the world, it says that it's at enmity with God. It's at war with God. It's different from what God wants. In Romans, it further says that when we are in this state of being at enmity with God, that we can feel like we are not subject to the law of God. And we can become so far out of sync, it says that we cannot even be with God. It's quite powerful. So in order to have the Spirit, or produce the fruits of the Spirit, we have to fight against sin. In Galatians 5 and verse 16 and 17, Galatians 5, 16 and 17, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So what does that mean for us? Where in our lives is the difference between the fruit of God's Spirit and the way we are living coming into clash with each other? To put it a different way, what is it that we are doing that is causing opposition against what God wants and desires for us? So I started thinking about this idea of being very intentional around the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. This idea also came to me. This is the title for my sermon. It's this idea of do simple better. You know, a lot of the times we'd like to think that our lives are super important and everything kind of revolves around us because we are human. And sometimes we'd like to think that the things that we do have to be grandiose or large and big to make monumental changes in our lives. But that's not really how it works in life. And we all have to live this life each and every day. And if we are not making those small daily improvements, even if it's 1% better than yesterday, then we're not going to be making any progress at all. You know, this world wants us to believe that we have to be extremely busy. We have to be constantly doing something in order for our lives to be useful or important or meaningful. But is that really true? Is everything that we are going through and doing on a daily basis aiming us at a higher good? Or is it just life happening and we have to get through it? You know, this idea of simplicity is it's hard to get to in your life. Because there is so much going on. There is so much living that we do. It's easy to become overwhelmed. When we are in this state of constantly doing things and constantly being busy, things start to suffer. You know, when we are getting a state of busyness and we're not focused on trying to figure out how to make things a little bit simpler, we run into a wide range of emotions, I think, that are hard to deal with at times. You know, there can be confusion, trials, anger, wrath, bitterness, frustration, hate, depression or discouragement. All these things are a part of just trying to fit so much into our lives that we lose sight of God. Satan knows this. This is his world. And he's constantly trying to get us to fail, to have these emotions, to be constantly too busy to focus on what is really important in our lives. And yet, we find that God is the exact opposite. He is constantly trying to lift us up, to prop us up, and to keep us going forward. In Matthew 11, verse 30, Christ says to take on his burden. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to live this way of life. But what Christ is saying is, bring your problems to me. Come to me in prayer. Don't be so burdened down by the things that are happening in this life. And you'll find that once you do that, your burden will become a little bit lighter. You'll allow me to help you to shoulder the things that are going on and that are happening in your life. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses," those people who have come before us, whose names are in this Bible, who we can read about, "let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." So easily to get entangled in the busyness of living this life. "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." God knew what he was doing when he called you. He knew what he was doing when he called me. That course is marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. Heard about faith in the message before. You can't live your life without having faith. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Christ was intentional in how he lived his life. He knew what was before him, before he even came to this earth as a man. Brethren, we get what we sow. Nothing more and nothing less. It's intentionality. It's learning to do simple better. And it's a process. James 1, verse 22 and 24. James tells us, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man, observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." You see, it takes intentionality to obey and to take God's word to heart. It takes intentionality to figure out where in our lives we have to incorporate these things. You know your life. You know where these things are going to take root or where they're not. If we know our own lives, if we know the Bible, and we know what it has to say and what it means for us, then it's time for us to cultivate and to really take a look and make sure that everything that we are going to experience or that we're going to be taught is going to find seed in our lives and take root and bring forth a bountiful crop. I'd like to turn to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 16, talking about doing the daily simple things better. As I've been talking about, even if it's just 1% better. Maybe you can spend 15 minutes doing Bible study tomorrow. Maybe that's 1% better than what you were able to do yesterday. Maybe it's praying before you get mad at the person in front of you for something they did in their car. Maybe they didn't even have an intention of doing to you. Whatever it is, where is it that we can find better intentionality? You know, I mentioned the fruit of the Spirit earlier, and hopefully we all know each one of them. But as I was thinking about this, I really thought about how can we find them living in our lives better? How can we allow God's Spirit to lead us in each one of these areas better? And really it takes meditation. It takes thinking about how our lives are mirroring God's Holy Spirit living through us. Thinking about our actions and our reactions and about how we can better use God's Spirit. You know, so we're going to go through each one of these and just give some ideas, some thoughts around them. And maybe you have thoughts around them and write them down for yourself. The first one, we've already heard this one, is love. You know, love in this context doesn't refer to warm, gooey feelings for somebody. It's really about deliberate attitude of goodwill and devotion towards others. Love gives freely without looking at whether the other person deserves it or without expecting anything back. How powerful then is love if you do it in the proper way? A question can be, am I motivated to do for others as Christ has done for me? Or am I giving love in order to receive love in return? Joy. You know, unlike happiness, joy is gladness that is completely independent of the good or bad things that happen in our lives. You can think of really about joy being almost like a supernatural thing given by God's Spirit. Because you have to be joyful at all times. Even during the hardest of times, it says we are to be joyful. We can only have this type of joy if we are fixated on God's purpose for us and for the events of our lives rather than on the circumstances themselves. What is the outcome that God is trying to bring about? So a question for us could be, am I experiencing the joy of life on a regular basis? Or is my happiness dependent upon things going smoothly in my day? I can promise you that things aren't going to go smoothly every single day for you. Peace. Peace is not the absence of turmoil, but is the presence of tranquility, even while in a place of chaos. It is a sense of wholeness and completeness that is content, knowing that God is in control of all the events that happen in our lives. The question that we can ask is, do we feel frazzled by the crashing waves of turmoil, because all of us have turmoil in our lives in one way or the other? Or am I experiencing the peace that surpasses all comprehension? You can find that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7, where it talks about that type of peace, which only comes from God. Patience. Other words that describe this fruit are long-suffering, forbearance, dealing with other people's sometimes stupidity, perseverance, and steadfastness. It is with patience that gives us the ability to endure ill treatment from life or ill treatment from the hands of others without lashing out and without paying it back to them. Question: am I easily set off by things that go wrong? Or am I easily irritated by people around me? Am I able to keep a godly perspective in the face of life's irritations? Kindness. When kindness is at work in a person's life, he or she will look for ways to adapt to meet the needs of others. Not the needs of the self, the needs of others. Whether that's something that you can see, or it's something that you actually sit down and have a conversation with that person and listen. Hear what they're going through. And find where that kindness can be interjected. A question: is it my goal to serve others with kindness? Or am I too focused on my own needs, my own desires, my own problems? Or am I showing kindness and letting it flow to other people? Goodness. Goodness reflects the character of God. Goodness in us seeks to look for the good in life, the good in others. To look for the holiness that God interjects. The question we can have is, does my life reflect the holiness of God? Faithfulness. A couple more of these. A faithful person is one who has real integrity. He or she is someone who others can look to as an example. Someone who is truly devoted to others and to Christ. We just heard a sermon on hypocrisy recently. And so the question I have is, are there areas of hypocrisy and indifference towards others in our lives? Or is our life characterized by faithfulness? And faithfulness to the point where other people can see it and understand it. Gentleness. Gentleness can also be called meekness. But meekness is not weakness. And gentleness is not without power. It chooses to defer to others. It doesn't always have to be right. Gentleness, question, do I come across as headstrong or frustrating towards others? Or can others easily interact with me? Self-control. The Bible tells us that as human beings, we are constantly at odds with God's Spirit because we want what the self wants sometimes, and that's wrong. Self-control is releasing our grip on our fleshly desires and choosing instead to allow God to be in control, to allow His Spirit to work it through us. Question we can have is, are my fleshly desires controlling my life, or am I allowing the Spirit of God to direct me to the things that please God and to serve others? And the final one is walk by the Spirit. Now, it's not a fruit of God or a fruit of the Spirit, but this final item, it really produces all the other 9 qualities that we just went through. When we follow God's Spirit and its lead in our lives, instead of being led by our own self-focused wants and desires, then we start to be able to use these fruits of God's Spirit. You know, as we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, you can think about scriptures for each and every one of these fruits, I'm sure. But the point I wanted to get across today and the question I wanted to think about is, how are these each flowing in our lives? How are they being a part of who we are? You know, the answers may not be what we want them to be. That's okay. In fact, in some instances, that should be the fact, that we're not going to be perfect in all these areas. And we have to be okay with that fact. Because we are constantly working towards perfection, working towards becoming a better person every single day. So as I'm wrapping up here, I hope that this message has all of us thinking about what we can do better. And remember, it's not monumental. You're not building the ark. The idea around the ark, though, was that it was built slowly over time. All great things take time to mature and to become great, to become perfect. And I would suggest maybe writing down some questions as we are closing in on the feast here and setting an intention to use what we are given at the feast as a springboard to really dive deep and draw closer to God, to think about all the things that we are going to learn. So how can we ensure that we are going to be in a better spot spiritually next year when we meet for the feast? What actions are we going to be able to put into place? I'd like to just close with a couple scriptures. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 to 8, we read 2 Peter 1, verse 5. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if all these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, reading from the NIV, 1 Peter 1, 3, it says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Brethren, we can do simple better every single day, if that's our intention. And this has to be our intention if we plan on making it into the kingdom of God.